VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us today. We're going to be having a news roundup day today on Crosstalk, and there's a lot certainly going on in the news this week that we want to make you aware of, starting with some of the issues surrounding the impeachment aspect, but there is so much more going on as well, and we trust that these stories, as you are informed as to what's going on in our nation, will burden you and to be praying for our nation, be praying for our leaders, to understand the seriousness of the times in which we live, to understand the necessity of our being salt and light and occupying until the Lord returns. Certainly these stories are helping us to understand the importance of our being serious about our Christian walk as well, and fulfilling the responsibilities that God has called us to. Certainly the attention of the nation has been on what's going on with this impeachment trial here as well. From the Daily Signal, Chief Justice John Roberts declined to read a sensitive question from Senator Rand Paul in the Senate impeachment trial Thursday as other senators asked about the withholding of U.S. aid to Ukraine and about Joe Biden and his son's employment by a Ukrainian energy company. Senators submitted some 93 questions Wednesday. We're on track to ask about as many on Thursday. The acquittal of President Trump is a near certainty, though. It takes 67 senators, or a two-thirds majority, to remove a president. And coming from One American News Network, Chief Justice John Roberts blocked Senator Rand Paul's attempt to get the alleged whistleblower's name said on the Senate floor. On Wednesday, Justice Roberts told senators no question resulting in the naming of the alleged whistleblower would be permitted. It's also interesting regarding this leak of some of the content of John Bolton's book, in which he seems to take issue with the Trump administration. It's been pointed out from WND.com in an interview last August, National Security Advisor John Bolton described President Trump's two telephone calls with Ukraine President Zelensky as, quote, warm and cordial. The interview was August 27th with Olena Rymavska of the Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty in the Ukrainian capital Kiev, and Bolton said they were very warm and cordial calls. Now, the whistleblower complaint that triggered the impeachment investigation alleged that President Trump used the threat of withholding lethal aid to pressure Ukraine to dig up dirt on a political rival. John Bolton's book coming out now, of course, the media has been swirling around it, but going back to his interview in August, calling it warm and cordial calls. Also, Senator Ted Cruz said on Friday, I'm going to vote that we don't need any more witnesses with 17 witnesses in the House. We've heard all the evidence. The House managers have failed, Cruz said. And what's interesting, and that's from the Daily Caller, from FoxNews.com that came out this afternoon, Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski has come out saying that that she is against the calling of witnesses and President Trump's impeachment trial, all but assuring that the Senate will move to wrap up proceedings with a likely acquittal in a matter of days, if not hours. Given the partisan nature of this impeachment, she said, from the very beginning and throughout, I've come to the conclusion that there will be no fair trial in the Senate. I don't believe the continuation of this process will change anything. It is sad for me to admit that as an institution, the Congress has failed, said Murkowski. The announcement came after Senator Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, who also had been on the fence on the issue, announced late yesterday that he would not support additional witnesses. He called it a shallow, hurried, and wholly partisan trial. And right now, though, it appears that Senators Susan Collins of Maine and Mitt Romney of Utah are the only GOP senators to signal support for witnesses. Presuming Democrats vote as a bloc and no other Republicans defect, that would leave the pro-witness side with just 49 votes. The Senate's expected to vote on the witness question perhaps later today. From there, proceedings could drag on through tonight into the weekend, possibly beyond. It takes a two-thirds supermajority to convict a president, and the whole aspect of how this is going to be carried out, still kind of unknown as to timing. Some have said there's still more bombshells to be coming into this process. But it's also interesting from the Western Journal that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi stood in front of microphones yesterday and declared that if President Donald Trump is acquitted by the Senate, he will not actually be acquitted. She was responding to a reporter who had asked about what she would do in the case of the president's acquittal. Here's the question. When this is over, do you think that President Trump will be chastened and understand that he's got a Congress watching him? Or will he be emboldened because the Senate will have acquitted him? The reporter asked. Well, he will not be acquitted. You cannot be acquitted if you don't have a trial. And you don't have a trial if you don't have witnesses and documentation in that, Pelosi replied. I would hope that the senators, if it comes to a tie or if there's question of hearing testimony or receiving documents, would leave it up to the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Republican appointed, in a Republican majority court. I would think that they would have confidence in the Chief Justice of the United States. That's really his title. And that's interesting to me that they're afraid of breaking a tie with the Chief Justice of the United States. Does the president know right from wrong? I don't think so, she said. That's all I can say to you. So she's saying even if he's acquitted, that he will not be acquitted. I guess we're going to continue to deny the results of the 2016 election and try to have an impact on the 2020 election as well. Also, from newsbusters.com, between Wednesday, January 22nd, when the Democratic House impeachment managers launched their opening arguments, and Tuesday of this week, when the defense team rested, evening newscast reporters and anchors made a total of 34 evaluative statements about the merits and effectiveness of both sides. Democratic impeachment managers received a total of 21 evaluative statements from ABC, CBS, NBC journalists. Of that total, 95% touted their efforts and presentations, which means only one of their comments were negative. So they have 95% positive coverage. Now, when it came to the president's defense, in stark contrast, every evaluative statement from reporters and anchors about the merits and effectiveness of Trump's defense team were negative. 13 total statements, ABC, CBS, each had 5, NBC pitched in with 3. The networks would roundly tear down arguments that Trump's legal team was making despite the evidence that they would present. 100% negative on the Trump defense, 95% positive on the Democratic prosecutors in this case. Also from townhall.com, President Trump's approval rating has climbed to match the highest of his presidency. That's a Washington Post ABC News poll. Also today, two people arrested in South Florida. This is FoxNews.com. After breaching security checkpoints around President Trump's Mar-a-Lago club in Palm Beach, the U.S. Secret Service and a Florida Highway Patrol tried to make a traffic stop on the Palm Beach Island, but instead of pulling over, the driver of the black SUV sped off toward the president's property. After turning into the club and breaching two security checkpoints, those on the scene responded by opening fire at the vehicle, according to the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. Two people were arrested today after breaching security checkpoints at the Mar-a-Lago Club in Palm Beach. We understand the president scheduled to be there this very weekend. Also from FoxNews.com, former Trump campaign advisor Carter Page filed a lawsuit yesterday in federal court against the Democratic National Committee law firm Perkins Coie and its partners tied to funding of the unverified dossier that served as a basis for the highly controversial surveillance warrants against him, the FISA warrants. And John Pierce, attorney, said this is the first step to ensure that the full extent of the FISA abuse that has occurred during the last few years is exposed and remedied. Turning to another issue today from WND.com, the images of President Trump burned in reaction to the Middle East peace deal. The challenge President Trump faces and is convincing the Palestinians to agree to this deal of the century, illustrated only hours before he unveiled the plan, as thousands of Palestinians took to the streets in Gaza, burned pictures of the president without even seeing the plan. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas called for a day of rage in protest over the proposal. Difficult days are ahead of us, Abbas said. We need to escalate popular resistance on all fronts and recruit the young, not abandon the streets. We will stand united in the coming days and examine the position of Hamas and Islamic Jihad. Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel issued a statement saying, although laudable, this proposed plan is a non-starter. Neither the Palestinian Authority nor Hamas will agree to a state of Israel, and history has proven that dividing the land of Israel for Palestinian control will never work. The Jerusalem Post reporting that Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Qatar, and the UAE, United Arab Emirates, on Tuesday issued statements welcoming the Trump administration's peace plan. And also interesting, Prince Charles, this is from the Washington Examiner, Prince Charles, Prince of Wales, has taken a special interest in the unrest in Iran, would like to visit the country again after last traveling to the Islamic Republic. Back in 2004, he told the United Kingdom Sunday Times, they have always been fascinated by Islamic culture and architecture and craftsmanship for a long time. He said he has prayed very hard at times for peace in Iran and the Middle East, and added that sometimes he would even pray in Arabic. I do think that the most important thing in the region is a just and lasting peace, Prince Charles said. Coming from Breitbart, a newly formed Swedish political party has proposed making all Muslims in Sweden a special minority, claiming that Muslims suffer daily from violence and verbal attacks. The Nyans party say they want Muslims in Sweden to be recognized in the same way the country recognizes Sami peoples and Jews as special minorities. The party chairman, Mikael Yuxell, told the broadcaster that Sweden's Muslims daily experience both physical and verbal attacks of a, quote, racist nature. Coming from Breaking Christian News, Uganda may be the next country to officially move its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That's reported by the Jerusalem Post. Israeli media reports that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will visit Uganda next week. Uganda has a strong relationship with Israel. The country's president is an evangelical Christian, they report. If Uganda moves its embassy, it would be the fourth country to do so after the United States, Guatemala, and Paraguay that have already done so. From Breitbart, Senator Elizabeth Warren on Wednesday released a plan to fight digital disinformation, promising to push for new laws that would impose tough civil and criminal penalties for disseminating false information related to U.S. elections. She calls on tech companies to take further action. She emphasizes the importance of action from the federal government, calling for the creation of civil and criminal penalties for knowingly disseminating false information about when and how to vote in the U.S. elections. Fox News' Tucker Carlson blasted her plan, declaring that she has gone full fascist. Also very interesting about Elizabeth Warren blaming President Donald Trump for the disease outbreaks like the coronavirus. To effectively beat infectious diseases like coronavirus, we need all hands on deck, but that, like so much else, Trump's approach to keeping us safe from disease outbreaks is a mess. When he's gone, we must fix the damage he's done, and I've got a plan for that. She said, quote, Trump has repeatedly tried to nickel and dime federal programs essential to health security. She changed charge in her plan, claiming that Trump's response to natural disasters that could lead to serious outbreaks like hurricanes in Puerto Rico has been basically non-existent. Oh, yeah? They just found warehouses full of the supplies he had sent, and yet local managers there had kept them hidden. Well, she also criticizes his pulling away from the Paris Climate Summit, but blaming Trump for the coronavirus? Well, we've got more to come after the break. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why is the ocean salty?
Chris, salt is added to the ocean on a daily basis as rain falls on the land surface, dissolving salt, which then gets into the rivers and ultimately to the ocean. And we can measure how much salt is carried in the rivers. We also know how much salt is in the ocean. A simple division of the amount of salt by the rate at which it's added shows us that the age of the Earth's oceans is far too young to have allowed for evolution, because evolution assumes that life evolved in the salty sea long ago. But if the oceans were old, they would already be so choked with salt that life would be impossible. You see, Chris, the direct scientific observations do not support the evolution idea. They do support recent creation, and that's the recent creation we read about when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to a news roundup day on Crosstalk, and the coronavirus certainly much in the news. And as Fox News reports, the World Health Organization yesterday declared this new virus outbreak a global emergency amid the recent jump in the number of infected patients. An outbreak of the deadly virus has killed at least 170 people as of yesterday, infected a total of over 7,700. Roughly 99%, they report, of new cases have appeared in China, but has spread to at least 16 countries globally. That's including cases right here in the United States as well. And also, as being reported by Breaking Israel News, this is from Breaking Israel News. They say, although animal-borne, the deadly coronavirus pandemic spreading worldwide may have originated in a laboratory in the Chinese city of Wuhan, and it's all part of China's covert biological weapons program, as Israeli biological warfare an analyst said in an interview with the Washington Times. Danny Shoham, a former Israeli military intelligence officer who holds a doctorate in medical microbiology, focused his studies on Chinese biological warfare. Shoham said that the Wuhan Institute of Virology is linked to China's covert bioweapons program. Cooperation on biological weapons is executed as part of the dual civilian-military research. He added, it's definitely covert. Turning our attention to another issue, troubling issue indeed, this is from The Hill. Drag queens from a RuPaul's Drag Race featured in a ad set to air during the Super Bowl this weekend. This is for, I believe it's Sabra Hummus. It is set to air during the Super Bowl. The first time drag queens will appear in a commercial during the football event, NBC News reports. They released a 15-second teaser of the ad last week featuring RuPaul's Drag Race contestants Kim Chai and Ms. Cracker, the first time drag queens to appear in a Super Bowl ad. But don't try and get a pro-life ad on during the Super Bowl. Coming from LifeSiteNews.com, the pro-life group that created the powerful abortion survivor TV ad played at the March for Life last week is calling out Fox Sports Network for stonewalling them and refusing to approve their ad to run in a slot on the Super Bowl Sunday this coming weekend. Faces of Choice, a new nonprofit whose ad featuring 14 survivors of abortion was shown at the March for Life, say they have been given the runaround by the network for 6 months. The ad, which features the faces and stories of abortion survivors, is designed to raise awareness of the survivors of abortion, who all univocally make it clear that they are persons and not a choice. Lyric Gillette, founder of Faces for Choice, told LifeSite News that the application was originally made in July, but that over the following months, members of the Fox legal department made a series of further inquiries without ever approving the application. So no to life, yes to drag queens. That is a sad state of affairs. Also, from Christian Headlines, the controversy over Drag Queen Story Hour, once confined to public libraries, is now moving into the public schools. A first-grade class at Morris Sendak Community Schools, PS 118, a public school in Brooklyn, New York, will host a Drag Queen Story Hour for students February 24th, according to Sohrab Amri, the op-ed editor for the New York Post. Apparently, the school has hosted a Drag Queen Story Hour in the past as well. We had Drag Queen Story Hour the past few years at PS 118, and the first graders loved it, a teacher stated. A teacher noted that she will read to the students, all while teaching into ideas of inclusiveness, gender fluidity and gender roles, family structures, acceptance, empathy, and individuality. Families are asked to pay $6 each for the event. But it's not just in the schools. News coming out yesterday from LifeSiteNews.com tells us that Sesame Street is about to get an infusion of LGBT vibes with an upcoming guest appearance by actor and LGBT activist Billy Porter. Porter, best known as Pray Tell in the FX's LGBT ballroom drama Pose, and for wearing extravagant dresses will appear during the 51st season of the beloved children's show, according to Sesame Street's official Facebook page. Billy Porter bringing those fierce vibes to Sesame Street, the Post declares, accompanied by photos of Porter on the classic set wearing a tuxedo gown. This isn't the first time Sesame Street has promoted LGBT themes. In 2017, it tweeted a rainbow of multicolored Muppets for Pride Month with the declaration, Sesame Street is proud to support families of all shapes, sizes, and colors. Later that year, its song, Anyone Can Play, purported to smash gender norms for children's toys and costumes, including the lyrics, Some boys like to play dolls, while the main character, male character, Grover, is seen wearing a purple dress. Cross-dressing LGBT activists on Sesame Street? From FaithWire, Senator Elizabeth Warren has weighed in against any tax dollars going to private schools, especially if they have a biblically-based view of sexuality. A quote that she tweeted out on Sunday, states should focus on funding public schools, not private ones, especially not ones that maintain anti-LGBTQ plus policies. We must ensure that every kid, especially LGBTQ plus kids, can get a high quality education. CNS News reports that along with her tweet, she included an article from the Huffington Post. The Huff Post article takes private religious schools to task, saying they actively discriminate against LGBTQ staff and employees. The article goes on to cite sections from school handbooks that finds concerning statements that affirm biblical views of marriage and sexuality like this. God created marriage to be exclusively the union of one man and one woman. And students and campus visitors must use restrooms, locker rooms, and changing rooms conforming with their biological sex. They take issue with those statements. And now Liz Warren is opposing tax credits for donations to schools with Christian views of sexuality. Also from FaithWire, at 23 years old, a convicted child rapist could walk free after serving less than 5 years behind bars, all because he has gender dysphoria. The Attorney General of Iowa is reportedly no longer seeking the confinement of Joseph Matthew Smith, who now goes by the name of Josie, because he has been taking transgender hormone treatments for the past 2 years with plans to ultimately undergo gender reassignment surgery. Lynn Hicks, a spokesman for the Attorney General, said that since Smith has been taking hormone therapy since 2017, the state no longer has evidence sufficient to prove Josie Smith has a significant chance of reoffending. Folks, Smith was convicted, according to this article, was convicted of molesting as many as 15 victims, ranging in ages from 1 to 13 years old. And now, because of taking hormone treatments, no longer deemed a threat? You know who is a threat? Franklin Graham. LifeSiteNews.com, a leading American evangelist, has responded to the cancellation of his appearance with the gospel message. Franklin Graham, who is supposed to appear at the ACC Liverpool Stadium June 12th of this year, issued the following statement on social media. A letter to the LGBT community in the UK. It is said by some that I'm coming to the UK to bring hateful speech to your community. This is just not true. I'm coming to share the gospel, which is the good news that God loves the people of the UK and that Jesus Christ came to this earth to save us from our sins. He's planned this 8-city tour of the UK. January 24th, his stadium, the ACC Liverpool Stadium, issued a press release saying Graham's appearance there would no longer be going ahead. Over the past few days, we have been made aware of a number of statements which we consider to be incompatible with our values, the press release stated. In light of this, we can no longer reconcile the balance between freedom of speech and the divisive impact this event is having in our city. We have informed the organizers of the event that the booking will no longer be fulfilled. Friends, the tip of the iceberg is just here on this issue. And we need this to be proclaimed loudly from the pulpits today, what God has said in His Word about marriage and about what is acceptable in the aspect of relationships, and that God made male and female two separate, distinct, and special male and female. LifeSiteNews.com. We brought you the story before, this battle going on in the court about the mother wanting to enroll her son in school and go through gender transition, etc. Well, a Dallas judge ruling in the case of a mother, she's still trying to get custody of her son. A Dallas judge ruling in the case of a mother trying to turn her 7-year-old son into a girl upheld a previous court ruling that made both the boy's parents have joint conservatorship over him. Judge Mary Brown not only denied Ann Georges' request, but the judge made an official order that both parents have joint conservatorship over their son, James Younger. The mother's attorney vowed to challenge the ruling. They're still fighting over this. In a case that received national attention, a mother and father battled over custody of their two twin boys. The father, Jeffrey Younger, argued that he needed some say in the medical decision-making for the boys, as the mother had enrolled one of the 7-year-old boys in school under the name Luna, and medical records indicated the mother was pursuing a medical gender transition for the boy. Closed hearing on October 24th, the judge Kim Cooks issued her ruling granting both parents joint decision-making. One notable provision was the alteration of custody to 50-50 custody once approved by a counselor. And also, the judge had appointed an attorney, Stacy Dunlop, to be the parenting coordinator or mediator between the mom and the dad for serious decisions pertaining to the boys in which they don't agree. Well, the mother has been fighting this in court, and a judge has just given her a setback, but looks like they're going to appeal. South Dakota House of Representatives, from ChristianNews.net, has advanced a bill that would prohibit doctors from prescribing hormones or performing sex change-related surgery on youth under the age of 16. The Vulnerable Child Protection Act was introduced earlier this month. Some over 40 senators backing this. This is Representative Fred Deutsch, who said every child in South Dakota should be protected from dangerous drugs and treatments. House Bill 1067 states that the medical professionals who prescribe puberty blockers or opposite-sex hormones, or who perform surgeries for the purpose of attempting to change or affirm the minor's perception of the minor's sex, if that perception is inconsistent with the minor's sex, commit a misdemeanor. Penalties could mean fines up to $2,000 and or a year behind bars. The House voted 46-23 in favor of this measure Wednesday, now sending it over to the Senate for consideration. That's in South Dakota. A couple stories here on the forthcoming elections. And by the way, the caucuses start this coming Tuesday in Iowa. And folks, as it comes state by state across this nation, we encourage you to be informed on the candidates and to cast a prayerful vote as you have such opportunity. Western Journal is reporting Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden told an audience in Iowa on Tuesday that his choice for vice president will have to be immediately capable of taking over as commander-in-chief because, he said, I'm an old guy. If elected in November, he would be 78 years old by inauguration, making him the oldest president ever sworn into office by 8 years. But it's remarkable that he came forth and said, I need to have a running mate who is immediately capable of taking over as commander-in-chief because, quote, I'm an old guy. We'll have a few more stories here on the forthcoming election. Following the break, it's a news roundup day on Crosstalk. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Is it okay to abort a baby? What would you say? People give many reasons why abortion is an acceptable choice, including the inconvenience of pregnancy, infant disabilities. It's the woman's body. It's not a baby. This is a result of rape or incest, incompetence of parents, and she's not ready to be a parent. In the DVD, 7 Reasons, Ray Comfort addresses these 7 questions, reasoning with college students and people on the street about whether such objections are justified. You will see those who are ardently pro-choice change their mind in moments. It's compelling and convincing. This powerful 42-minute DVD, 7 Reasons, is available for a donation of just $5. 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the DVD, 7 Reasons.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, a news roundup day here today, and certainly we are all been anticipating this first caucus, then the primary, then going to New Hampshire, and then to other states beyond. And again, we encourage you to be informed as to where the candidates stand on the issue and vote prayerfully. By the way, though we have the candidates listed, it's very interesting that this is from the New American, the new Hulu docuseries about Hillary Clinton in the 2016 presidential campaign entitled Hillary, premiered on Saturday at the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah. The 4-part series, which is set to be released to the public March 6th, is said to be a non-critical look at Clinton and the events surrounding the 2016 presidential election. The timing of the premiere, they report, in the week prior to the Iowa caucuses is causing some to wonder whether Clinton again may be looking to run for the presidency in 2020. With the release of this docuseries, Hillary is clearly saying, "I'm still here. If a draft Hillary movement, real or manufactured, suddenly arose, it's unlikely that she could say no to another run," and has speculated she is she has it within her to run again. Be very interesting to see how things are going to play out if that would ever come to fruition. By the way, Todd Starnes reporting that Mayor Pete Buttigieg told a pro-life Democrat at Fox News Channel's town hall meeting that she has no place in today's Democratic Party. Kristen Day, a 50-year-old member of Democrats for Life, asked if Mayor Pete would support more moderate language in the party platform to ensure that the party of diversity and inclusion really does include everybody. The mayor replied that he supports the position of the party that this kind of medical care needs to be available to everyone. At the end of the day, this is what I believe, the mayor said. He said, "I'm not going to try to earn your vote by tricking you. I am pro-choice, and I believe that a woman ought to be able to make that decision," he said. Day said she was not satisfied with the answer, the Free Beacon reports. "What do you say to Democrats who are pro-life, and there are obviously millions of them, that they should overlook this particular issue and look at the whole sum of views or go find another party?" Buttigieg said he has never encouraged another politician or never encountered another politician or voter with whom he agrees 100%. But he said he's not going to change. He's not going to support more moderate language than what's there, and really is very much opposed to such positions, and will not has no place in the party. A story that came out today from frontpagemag.com says that parents and concerned citizens are crying indoctrination over a bill recently introduced in the California State Assembly that would make teaching about climate change mandatory in all California public schools. The legislation, Assembly Bill 1922, would amend the California Education Code to mandate that science education for grades 1 through 6 and 7 through 12 include instruction on the causes and effects of climate change. The bill adds, quote, "appropriate coursework, including material on the causes and effects of climate change, shall be offered to pupils as soon as possible, commencing no later than the 2021-22 school year." And also what's interesting at the same time from CBN.com, with all the talk about climate change and rising temperatures, it might be hard to imagine a little ice age in the future, but NASA's forecast for solar activity over the next decade could mean we're in store for a cool down. The current forecast calls for the weakest solar activity in the last 200 years. Astrophysicist Dr. Jeff Swearink, of Reasons to Believe, spoke with CBN News about the correlation between sunspots and weather on the Earth. Sunspots actually emit more radiation, so if there are fewer sunspots, we're receiving less sunlight from the sun, and so you would expect to see a continual decline in temperatures, that things might get colder over the next 10 to 15 years, he said. Very interesting. We can't quite get it right. I know when I went through school, we were told that the glacier age was going to come again. And we're going to have a global cooling take place. And then, well, you know where we are today. Very interesting here. Hats off to the police chief of Detroit, Michigan, who says, this is from christiannews.net, he will not agree to a request from the Freedom From Religion Foundation to cease holding police academy graduations at local churches. We stand firm, Chief James Craig told the Detroit News. As an option, we'll continue to use houses of worship for our graduations. That doesn't mean we're forcing our religious beliefs on anyone. Craig said the police department uses the churches as the parking is ideal. The usage is free. There is no cost to taxpayers, and those who attend the event don't have to pay to park. Let's head over to West Virginia. And this is from CBN.com. In a proposal, the Richmond Times-Dispatch is dubbed Vexit. West Virginia's Republican governor, Jim Justice, invited Virginia counties upset over the liberal government in their state capital to secede to West Virginia. The governor gave the invitation at a press conference held with Liberty University president Jerry Falwell at a community college in Martinsburg, West Virginia, on Tuesday. Justice said, if you're not truly happy where you are, we stand with open arms to take you from Virginia or anywhere you may be. We stand strongly behind the Second Amendment, and we stand strongly for the unborn. So the West Virginia governor inviting disgruntled Virginia counties to secede to the Mountain State. And on that issue, Brexit takes place today. From FoxNews.com, Britain today will formally leave the European Union, ending an intense nearly 4 years of political fighting over Brexit since Brits voted to leave this bloc that has consumed British politics and saw the ouster of two prime ministers. Britain will formally leave at 11 p.m. UK time, that's 6 p.m. Eastern time, and Prime Minister Boris Johnson expected to address the public about an hour before the departure time. Elsewhere throughout the country, the day will be marked by celebrations and some mourning from those opposed to the move. Well, our clock is running here. Let's open some phone lines today. If you'd like to comment on these or other news, current event news items, from impeachment to the peace plan to all the issues that are going on, perhaps comments on the election, our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Voters will be deciding in New Zealand whether to legalize the practice of doctors killing sick patients, making New Zealand the first country in the world to decide on euthanasia via referendum. This is from LifeSiteNews.com. On Tuesday, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced the referendum will be held September 19th. On the same day, voters will decide whether to return the Prime Minister to power. If the euthanasia referendum passes with more than 50% of the vote, the End of Life Choice Act of 2019 would go into effect exactly 1 year after the results are finalized. It would allow doctors to prescribe a lethal dose of substances to patients requesting death and who are believed to have less than 6 months to live. However, the bill would allow those who have a non-terminal grievous and irremediable medical condition to request lethal euthanasia. It prohibits euthanasia in cases where patients are disabled, elderly, mentally ill, or have a mental disorder. But as we've seen happen before, those things too will pass. I'd like to get your comments here today on these and other current event news. If you have a comment on the impeachment matter going on, pertaining to the elections that are taking place, maybe to the peace plan or other current event news, our number 800-733-9829. Again, that's 800-733-9829. We're going to begin in Lafayette, Indiana. Dennis, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. I was just wondering why we're wasting the American taxpayers' money on a trial when they've already admitted their guilt. As a matter of fact, Mick Mulvaney said himself, well, yes, of course, there's been a quid pro quo. That's just the way we do business around here.
Well, the words quid pro quo are not even in the articles of impeachment, Dennis.
Well, as a matter of fact,
they're not even in the charges, Dennis.
Obstruction of justice. I believe President Trump said himself while standing on the front lawn at the White House, China, we could sure use your help in an investigation into the Biden.
I tell you what, Dennis, you better listen to what's going on here, because obstruction of justice is not in the articles of impeachment either. China is not in these articles of impeachment. So I don't know where you're going with this, but already we have found that through the special investigations, that there was no collusion with Russia going on. The issues, there are no charges dealing with obstruction of justice. And the charges, obstruction of Congress, two totally different things here. And so you've got to go back. You're putting lots of things. You perhaps have been influenced by Adam Schiff in all of this, because there's a lot of things that have been said that are just not true according to the documents. We've got Tom next in Port Wing, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Tom.
Yes, my comment is about impeachment, and the number one suspect in the impeachment trial, Senator Joe Biden, has probably escaped his fate, and he may become president of the United States, unfortunately.
Well, he is certainly on the ballot, and we're going to find out. His numbers have been having some ups and downs in various locations, but he is there. It is the potential for him to be the next president of the United States. You're correct with that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom, for your call. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. And again, the news that's coming forth today, it does not appear that there are enough votes, even in the Senate, to bring forth any further witnesses. Basically, the House came over and said this is an open and shut case. You know, it is just so, there. We've got all the information here, and the charges are, they're just there, that they're enough to bring impeachment against the president. They're non-refutable, and on the list goes. Well, guess what? We're finding that there's been a lot of untruths that have been told through this process, even totally misquoting the transcript of the phone call with the president of Ukraine, with President Zelensky. Let's go to Rich calling next from Burlington. And Rich, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Last week at the closing arguments for the impeachment, Adam Schiff quoted a report published in the New York Times, who is quoting an anonymous source that President Trump had threatened physical violence against Senate Republicans who didn't go with him. Can we expect another impeachment based on such solid evidence as the New York Times quoting an anonymous source? I would suspect that ranks right up there with this impeachment that's going on right now. Yeah. Could we expect another one over that?
Well, Rich, you may not be too far off field from that, because there have been threats that have said just that we're going to continue with impeachment. We'll bring a new impeachment charges. I mean, that's been some who have alleged that to take place, and whether or not they're going to carry through with that, I guess the American people will have to decide, are we going to tolerate this or not?
My concern is that the American people are going to not vote for Donald Trump just because they're tired of all of the nonstop charades that the Democrats are doing, and I just hope everyone sees past it, but I'm not 100% confident of that.
Well, right now, the numbers are going just the opposite way, where his popularity is on the increase. His crowds have been larger than ever at the rallies he's been going to and holding in various states. We're up against a break, Rich. We got to take that break. We'll be back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com, continuing our series on the dangers of discourse or dialogue with cultural Marxists. It's one thing to have a debate. It's another thing to have a discourse or dialogue which seeks to merge your worldview with theirs. Well, when you agree to this, you're agreeing to the sixth danger, which is you're agreeing with the cultural Marxist premise that discourse produces consensus, which produces culturally acceptable values and thus politically correct behavior. Because after all, your worldview is based on your values. Your values are based on your conduct, right? So if you can convince people that truth is defined by the group, therefore values are defined by the majority, and now you'll conform your behavior to the cultural standards that are politically correct. Now, this is what happens when you involve yourself in a discourse or dialogue with the Marxist. Group consensus and peer pressure get you to change your values and then your conduct.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Yeah, depending on how this vote happens for witnesses, if they vote for witnesses, it's going to go much longer into the process. And some are saying there are many witnesses we need to hear from, including Joe Biden, his son Hunter Biden, from Adam Schiff himself, from the whistleblower as well, and on the list goes. But right now, it does not appear that there's enough votes for that to take place. But next steps are a mystery as to what will be taking place. Will there be a whole new round of investigations going on? Don't know, but folks, you can weigh in even with your senators who will be casting their votes, some votes perhaps later today. And if you want to weigh in with your senator, keep in mind the Senate switchboard number is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Michelle is calling from Ohio. Michelle, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Jim. It's always great to listen to your program. I heard one of your callers earlier. I just have a comment. I'm very concerned for America because of the low information, low voter information, and we're not educating the vote. But we're kind of up against the wall because they're only listening and able to access one side of the story, which clearly we all can tell is very skewed to meet their agenda and not the reality of the truth. I was curious, what do you think about, you know, I've been in news media myself, but I'm concerned that they just have a free-for-all. They can say anything they want because of a law that was put into the National Defense Act in the Obama administration, a lot of propaganda, and that's the claim that they make of how they can get on air and not tell the truth, or part of the truth, or at least half of the truth. What do you think about that? If they can just say whatever they want, and they can shut out, you know, the GOP side, and only even during this.
Well, and as I stated here, Michelle, 100% of the stories that came out regarding the Trump defense by the major networks in the country were negative. 95% of the prosecutors' arguments were supported and fanned by the national news media. The bias is there. What I'm thankful for is alternative media that can address these issues, such as this program and other news sources that are doing that to inform the public. And we're seeing ratings just really, really drop off from the likes of the CNNs out there. Certainly the importance of getting to the truth of matters should be the part of media to do that. But sadly, we've got so many that are there to dupe the public and to have their own agenda be heard. I'm going to move on because we have just a few minutes and several more callers. Tim is next in Viola, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, Jim. I'd like to discuss what you were talking about in one of your reports about how they're trying to poison our children and grandchildren's minds with transgenderism and everything else that they think is all right. And it's just dead wrong, and we got to just, it's going to be a fight to the finish. I mean, we know who wins, but hey, we're here right now, and mm-hmm. I'm just telling people they got to stay vigilant and what you were brought up and what you were taught. I'm 71 years old, good biblical teachings and what's right and what's wrong and none of this gray area stuff. We got to hold and stand firm and fight.
Yeah. Certainly, we need to be doers of the word, not hearers only, and to stand
Amen.
Up for biblical truth. And we know what God has said in His Word. He's created us male and female. There's nothing we can do. We are always going to be male or female. No matter how we think in our minds, no matter what we seek to do to our bodies, we cannot change that biological fact. And so it is, those who do so are science deniers. And so, the quest for truth is very important for us here.
Well, you are what you are, and you have to try to make the best of what you are, no matter who, you know, if you're man or woman or whatever. You're not this or that. You are what you are.
Mm-hmm.
And just one other quick thing is that I want people to be vigilant also about what's going on with these people trying to take away our Second Amendment rights, because once they take those away, we're just going to be easy targets. And I'm not saying that we should go get up in arms. I'm just saying we got to keep all our freedoms we can hang on to, because they're going to try to take them away.
Thank you, Tim, for your comments. And Virginia is really on the move in attacks upon the Second Amendment here at this time. Let's go to Tim in West Virginia. You're on the air, Tim.
Hi, I just wanted to address two points of information that you made earlier. You mentioned that Joe Biden needs a running mate that could take over, like you said, possibly immediately.
That's not me. That's him saying that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And could be tongue-in-cheek. I don't think so. But also, you mentioned about Hillary. Is she going to run? What would you think of the possibilities of Hillary running on the ticket with Biden just to get her in the office and him to drop out?
It's not without. It's within the realm of possibility. It's mm-hmm. within the realm of possibility. But Joe Biden has talked about, he was asked the question about putting Barack Obama on the U.S. Supreme Court. He said he was open to doing that, but didn't think Barack Obama would accept that. He also talked about having Michelle Obama as his running mate as well.
Yes, I did hear that. Okay, just wanted to point that out.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks for your show.
One final call. Washington, Barbara, you're on the air.
Yes, I've been hearing so much about this whistleblower. And my question is there really a whistleblower out there, or is he just a figment of the radical Democrats' imagination?
Interesting question there, Barbara. There appears to be such a person, though that person is being denied, knowing Adam Schiff denying that he knows who this whistleblower is. Others have named the whistleblower in that regard, but keeping this person anonymous, don't we have a right to hear from our, you know, those who accuse us? Thank you for the call. I do want to close today's program here with just a hats off to a student. This is out of Pell City, Alabama. Baptist Press has a story. To help meet the needs of fellow classmates, a 16-year-old girl, Brianna Ferris, started a prayer locker ministry at her school, Pell City High School. Students can write down and leave requests of any nature in the locker. She then takes them home and prays for them individually. She had the idea to start a prayer ministry when she found herself serving as a shoulder for her friends to cry on. I'd go home and pray for them, and so I thought I'd get the idea for people to drop prayer requests off in her locker. And she started this locker ministry, put a note on the outside indicating that students could drop prayer requests in the locker and submit them anonymously or with a name. And the way it was arranged, not sponsored by faculty or the school has allowed it, but she's had immediate success garnering anywhere from 5 to 10 prayer requests each week that have been dropped into her locker. Hats off to a student trying to make a difference in this world and the spiritual battles that we are in, even what we're facing today. And certainly we need to be salt and light. And hats off to a gal that is doing just that. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk. Trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church this Lord's Day. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.